Yes.
And for the record, what is your name, sir?
My name's Charles Young.
Give me just a second. Is this, are we up and ready here?
Yep.
Mr. Young, go ahead.
This is my third time before this board. I've represented hotel properties in the past. The last two times I was here, 2009 and 2011, I represented Jasper Enterprises out of Springfield. They have since gone into Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and their hotels are owned by Hawthorne Bank. The subject property is Delta Ridge Hosting, doing business as the Victorian Palace Hotel. Valuing hotels, their investment properties, I've come to this board with pro formas, utilizing a direct capitalization methodology. Quickly learned that that was not the preferred method in this county, that a gross rent multiplier was the preferred methodology. And in 2011, I came back with MAI appraisals, and the board had changed its methodology to a tiered system where the lowest tier were at $10,000 a key on up. I put $750,000 on the value because I thought there were 75 rooms in this hotel. There's actually 68 rooms. And as I said, in 2011, the bottom number the board was working with on a per-key basis was $10,000. I brought as an exhibit P&L statements for 2011 and 2012 for the subject property. In 2011, the top line income, including all of the food, beverage, vending, $272,194. After expenses, we had NOI of $15,980. If you'll see under the expense for interest, that would be your mortgage interest, which is not allowable expense in valuing real property for property tax purposes. We would add $45,000 back to that number. So we had an NOI roughly $60,000. 2012, top line income is $146,640. That is more than $100,000 less than the previous year. Mortgage interest expense was $17,736. So our NOI was a negative $30,841, adding back the $17,000. The property is still running in the red. This property is in distress. I'm asking the board to reduce the value to your lowest assessment per room that is allowed for tax year 2013. I also like to mention that this property is not flagged by any national chain, IHG or Hilton, Marriott, anything like that. And I think that has a lot to do with the occupancy and the poor performance.
Christy, pull the property up on the map, please.
Now, is it across from the duck out there, the big motel right on along 76.
James, I have not physically inspected the property.
It's the one next to the old boxcar wheeling.
Oh.
It's back off of
Gretna.
Was it Schaefer?
Schaefer Drive?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's back. You gotta go Green Mountain. Well, she's pulling it up, aren't you? You gotta go Green Mountain Drive to Schaefer and back. It's one of the ones that's...
Actually, you're the first guy in, so you get the hard questions on motels.
Okay.
And hotels.
Hopefully I can have the answers.
I sit over here as assessor, and I seen Leap Day Tornado tear out numerous hotels and motels in the city of Branson. And I see these P&Ls come in and occupancy's down. Well, I was always with the assumption with less rooms, somewhere in these P&Ls, it ought to be reflective that all these motel rooms left Branson because we get reports that we got more people coming. We're actually up and people showing up. Why aren't the occupancies going up in these P&Ls instead of going the opposite direction with less rooms out there? It used to be the argument that less rooms or more rooms, less occupancy. So now we reverse the equation, less rooms and less occupancy.
I can only speculate, but the subject property is, for lack of a better term, a mom and pop. They create themselves a job. There's no income. There's no profit here for an investor. And investors would not, if you show an investor this P&L, they would run, not walk away from this. There's no economic obsolescence on this property is high. So you bring your family to Branson, they're not coming to the Victoria Palace. I think this gentleman pointed out there's some poor ingress, egress. Any type of retail operation is location is key, being on a main thoroughfare. So any detraction from...
When was the construction date?
1994, I believe.
Has there been any appreciation factor applied, James, in this particular case?
No. It just depreciated to 88%. But to get to the numbers that's been requested, it would have to be...
I think you'd have to have more than just physical depreciation. You'd have to have economic depreciation, external.
I'm trying to figure all the everything I can look at on the thing to see.
What are we talking to? I've never seen this used in a P&L. Is Victorian Palace barter? Is that a trade for value? Is that what
I? That's what barter means. I don't know exactly what they're getting for. 24,290 in 2011, and
that's the first time I've seen it, and
possible filling of the room by another facility is the way that
spillover into that.
Yeah, or any of those things would be a barter type system. That's the way that I would recognize what the statement means.
I don't think the but maybe they've changed. I don't think the IRS is very fond of barter systems. I mean, it's
well, these
hard.
Are audited P&Ls.
I know it's hard to keep track of on a barter system.
Do you know something that they are fond of?
What's that?
With the IRS.
No, but I mean,
showing any kin coming.
This is the first time I've ever seen it on there. It's the reason I'm that a barter system's going on motel revenues. Have they offered the motel for sale or anything of that nature?
No.
On your evidence?
Yes, sir.
Where did that go? I think you put that some hotels had sold. Music Mountain.
I did?
Somebody did.
I think I just came in with filed on the basis of income.
Mountain Music Inn sold just around the corner.
Do we know how much per room?
I just heard that it sold.
Who wrote that up there on the top right?
That would be my client, and I just didn't want to white it out. It's they're aware of what's selling around them.
Do you know if those are...
I don't know. I just know that Mountain Music did sell.
And, of course, those numbers would include all personal property, FF&E, any type of intangibles if they have franchise agreements or so. Mountain Music Inn doesn't sound like that, but Howard Johnson certainly would have franchise value in a Days Inn as well. So
Music Mountain, the one next to the old theater.
Mountain Music Inn is just around Schaefer Drive there on the end, right behind Super 8. Where Super 8's laying there, you go around the curve, and Mountain Music Inn was right there.
Okay. What was the one that was right next to the movie theater? Applebee's. What's that theater? What's that? Had the shape of a guitar for the swimming pool.
Was it Mountain Country?
That was Mountain Country.
So I'd ask the board if you could value this at $680,000. 68 rooms, that'd be $10,000 a key. We've worked with Mr. Strahan and willing to update him with any income and expense information he needs in years going forward to indicate a upswing in the value. Fortunately, the Jasper's hotels didn't make it. They went in Chapter 7. Hospitality is just a tough business.
As we sat on a previous board and did the $10,000 a unit as the low, that was the low side of things, we considered the elements of construction as far as whether it was masonry, wood structure. Do you have any? You've not visited the premises.
No, so but from the picture photos, it's wood, stick and brick, yeah. Okay.
I would prefer to see an appraisal done on these when we're talking about $1.7 million down to, we're knocking $1.1 million off.
If you recall, we knocked $3 million off that Days Inn, and it got a little contentious going to the State Tax Commission and everybody involved. It cost the taxpayer money for an attorney and appraisals, and you had your attorney's time into it, and at the end you guys just said, okay, we'll go with your number. I don't want to do that. I'd rather take care of it right here, right now.
I don't have enough evidence to recommend it. It's this board's decision. $1.1 million off. I'd say, though, I know Mountain Music Inn was a distressed sale. I'm not positive the others is not bank sales also, all three that they wrote on there. And I don't know how many sales are out there that's not distressed in the hotel industry, but I've never been answered. As of today, if you lose 1,200 units, why doesn't occupancy go up for the rest of them on these P&Ls?
Well, P&L obviously can be made to say anything you want it to say.
Well, and the word barter on this one just throws me a loop.
What I'm not familiar with the key or the room. You call it a per.
It's per room, per key.
Room. Was that a normal assessment?
What's that?
The per room.
We've got motels and ranging, and it was revealed back at the other appeal from $10,000 to $30,000 a room. Okay. And it's just strictly on class, where they set, what their occupancy is.
68 rooms, sir.
Brandon, to answer your question on the 76 strip out there. There was several stick built older units, and we took the cost that the owner come in and appeal for, and what they built it for, whether it was stick, whether it was masonry or whatever, and we came up with a scale that we used, and that's how we come up per door key unit. To figure those, because a lot of them were going to be actually removed from the demoed, and until they were demoed, they were still using them for monthly rental and stuff like that. So that's how we ended up having to go that route. So,
well, I think the case could be made looking at the income that the highest and best use of this land might not be for. It's. We had $100,000 drop in, more than $100,000 drop in in top line income, which is rental income, between 11 and 12. That's not due to renovation or any other external factors. It's just obsolescence.
Same managers,
same owner, same everything. You know, we appealed this informally in 2011, or last year, I'm sorry, and we got your notice, and it was our fault. We didn't file the state tax commission. We missed it, or else we intended to go to the state tax commission. That's why we're here this year, and I showed up personally. I didn't come down last year. I sent down the P&Ls, and the board gave it a no change, so I drove down today to make a plea to you guys.
There's no doubt that these motels, such as this one, gets into the timeshare industry trade-offs, and that's where the word barter, that's where that comes in. We don't know how much revenue the timeshare industry brings into a motel. They give them a free night there to come look at their product, and if they purchase, then they don't even have to pay for that night at a regular price type thing. So I don't know. In these P&Ls, it gets so drastically unbalanced over the course of a year, it just points straight at the barter system.
This is not timeshare property. This isn't Weston property. This isn't Hilton property.
What I tell you is our timeshare people here makes deals with motels to put their clients up. They come and show the properties of their timeshares, not this.
I thought you'd go and stay there. I always get calls, hey, come down and stay in Branson. we'll show you a great weekend. And
guess where they put you?
2 hours. You got to sit to 2 hours of our stuff.
They put you in that?
They don't put you? Why would you? What? I thought they'd want you to see what they're selling you.
They want you to come to their property, see what it looks like, and think, well, where I'm staying.
They'll put you up. That's why the word barter shows up, I know. But you got, like I say, to make that kind of reduction, I don't have the evidence, but this is the board, and you have an appraiser sitting right there.
He can figure this out.
Mr. Jackson?
Yes, sir. Appraiser.
Well, when you have a negative NOI, you can't even determine a cap rate because investors just are not interested unless they believe that there's innately some management problem. Hey, we can come and turn this around. We can do more advertising. We can do something like that. But I don't think it's a management problem.
I would, of course, that's a stick building, and I don't think it's one. I'm going to go off of what we've done in the past, and I'm going to go say that this is a business in operation with no plans of demolition, and make a recommendation for $18,000 a unit. I don't know what that figures up to.
68 rooms.
I mean, 68. Does somebody get the calculator on that? Because we went from
the 1,224,000.
We went from 10 to 30 is what we used our base scale before, and if it was not in operation, if it was a monthly rental, if it was some other thing, I would probably consider lower. But that's what my recommendation is. I'll make that in the form of a motion.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded to establish BOE number 2013-76 at $18,000 per unit, which provides maximum valuation of $1,224,000. Discussion.
Would you guys consider, to avoid litigation, would you guys consider splitting the difference between 18 and 10, calling it $14,000 a unit? It's going to cost the taxpayer $5,000 for an appraisal, $250 an hour for an attorney, and I just know they're not going to be satisfied with a $300,000 reduction on this property. Would you guys consider that?
Is there any other discussion from the board regarding the motion? Does our assessor step out?
Jeff, you have any thoughts on that?
No.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
What'd you do?
Were the, both these numbers for the same parcel of property that we have?
They're for the same. I believe there's a little residual land. So we're going to adopt that for both parcels because the second parcel is.
We have two BOE numbers for this.
One, two,
Dell Realty.
Grandin.
What is it? Liddell Realty.
$1,227,000.
That's me as well. Yes.
Get this man a cup of coffee.
Well, I don't have the P&Ls for you, but it's.
Where is this guy sleeping?
Right across the street from. No, it's behind the track. Behind the
Jane, you stepped out. There was a motion to establish
$1,224,000.
Yes, sir. Sorry. You stepped in before I did.
What value are we asking on that one?
$400,000.
What do we have it on for, 600?
Just assess it to 2980, price 634.
Hold it just a second. Let me have those again. What's the appraised on?
$634,313 is what I have. 202.98 for the assessed.
202.098?
Sorry, 202.980.
980, thank you.
And they're requesting 128.
$128 assessed. What would that be in appraised?
$400,000.
Thank you. I see it. I mean, can you put that up on the map for us, Christy?
I'm kind of confused where that is. Is that down by the Catfish House there too, Brandon, or can you see it?
You've got the Hughes Theater right
just
to the north, and then you've got, so it's right behind, right, there's one of the tracks.
Yeah. Isn't that the Catfish House there or something right there, you know, that used to sit there? Or
catfish? No.
That's two doors up.
Used to be where the helicopter
I see it there now. Yeah.
I'd make a recommendation to the board to lower this value to $482,934, which would be lowering the depreciation. If I'm not badly mistaken, the motel is in a little disarray.
$482,934?
Yes, sir.
How many rooms are in that one, do you know?
I didn't bring my information.
It's just one of the little square stick built, throwed up in the 70s type motel.
Yeah, I think it was built in
81. 2 years off. Could have been 79.
Is there a motion to accept the assessor's recommendation?
Motion to accept the assessor's recommendation on value, and I didn't even catch the number.
$482,934.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to lower the valuation of BOE number 2013-77 $482,934 per recommendation of the assessor. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good Shepherd Meadows.
Good Shepherd Meadows.
Again, please accept our apologies for running so late today.
No, not a problem. I certainly understand. I was here for the end of the impassioned argument with Kanakuk and certainly appreciate that. My name is Mike Nichols. I'm here on behalf of Sight and Sound Theater. Mr. Strahan.
Hey, nice to meet you now.
Times. Nice to see you.
Yes.
Thanks for having us here. Is everybody familiar with the Sight and Sound Theater in Branson?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what we're here to discuss this morning is obviously the appraised value of the property. The property was constructed in 2007. I think the set shop and the animal housing and training portion of the theater was in 2007, and then the theater portion itself actually opened in 2008. We've had an appraisal done. I know that it was originally, or I think it was done in 2012, and then it was updated again this year. I believe you guys have a copy of that that we provided. I know it's long, and nobody enjoys reading full appraisals, but we wanted to make sure you had all that information. The appraisal came back at $16 million, according to CBRE and their updated appraisal, and we believe that that's a closer value for the appraised value of this theater as opposed to the nearly $30 million that it's currently set at. And, you know, I think that the issue here is that this is obviously a very unique property and a very unique theater even, and so... You know, what we're all looking at and analyzing this at today is, you know, what is market value for this theater? And, you know, if somebody came to town, you know, what is the market for this particular theater? And the problem is that this is a very specialized theater, which has a very small market for sale if anybody else were to come or if they were to try to sell this property. Obviously, it is set up for them, and it has value as it's constructed to them, but we're not sure that it would have that value for really anybody else. And the reason that is the unique show that they have. The theater has over 2,000 seats, which is obviously very large. There are some other theaters in town that have had that number of seats, but as I'll discuss in a minute, some of those have had ill fates and have had to sell under less than optimal circumstances. But then they also have a lot of square footage. I believe almost 180,000 square feet of the total. Well, they have 336,000 square feet, and I believe a little over half of that, or about 180,000 of that square footage, consists of their scene shop and their animal training facility. Well, that works for them because they have a lot of animals in their show, and that's an integral part of their show. But as you can imagine and surmise, that wouldn't be fitting for really any other theater. There are shows that have some animals, but not nearly that number. They don't have the training and keep them on site like this theater does. The front lobby, they've constructed it very large, which requires them to have, you know, double the staffing out front. That's something that they've chosen to do, but in the sales market, that would be extra expense for whoever was going to purchase this property and try to operate it. I mentioned earlier that there's over 2,000 seats in this theater. Again, you know, obviously any theater wants to fill their seats. Whether these are filled or not has less of a financial impact on them than it would for other operators, and that's namely because they have their own music. And as I understand it, other theaters have to license their music, and those are typically valued based on the number of seats in the theater. And that is why some of the other larger theaters in town have had a hard time making a go of it. Two in particular that I would mention is, you know, one would be the Grand Palace. It has over 2,000 seats as well. I know that it's been on the market and has not had, you know, success at selling that theater. And that is one of the main reasons is financially it doesn't work for their for a theater operator to have that many seats unless they know that they can fill it, because they're going to get charged for that licensing fee. So back to Sight and Sound, they have their own music, and so they're not licensing music, and so that is not an issue for them. But if this theater were to go up for sale, it would be for any potential purchaser. So, you know, because all of these things are very unique for them, it works for them, but on the market, it would not generate the income or the price to match what it costs to construct all those improvements. And I know that in speaking with Mr. Strahan, you know, he discussed the fact that, you know, he just has a hard time in his mind saying that those things don't have value. Well, they do have value for Sight and Sound, but the reality is not what the value is for them, but the value if this is on the market and what market is out there. And nobody else has that need. And so whether we like it or not, if we're going to try to sell this property, nobody is going to want to pay a square footage price for a bunch of animal training facilities that nobody else has the need for, like us. You know, we have to look at it as how those subsequent users and how the market would use the property. And, you know, I mean, there's some analogies, you know, I mean, if you'll think about it, you know, back when we went from regular Walmarts to supercenters, they build the supercenter, and now you've got this big Walmart building that's sitting there empty. Well, that building was great for Walmart before, but now there's not really many users that want that size of building. So while it had a high value for Walmart, once they move out, now it's harder to find a user who can maximize the revenues in it like Walmart could. You know, another similar analogy would be even take a fast food restaurant. I mean, you have a Taco Bell that's, you know, constructed how they want it, high specifications. It's a very nice building. But as soon as they move out, you're not going to get another national chain that has that same recognition and same revenue-generating potential that national chain does. So then you end up with a mom-and-pop restaurant in. Not to say that it isn't a great restaurant, but mom-and-pop can't pay the same value that Taco Bell can for their property. So, again, that goes back to the point that while this facility works for Sight and Sound, on the market it just would not generate that type of values. And I think that, you know, in the appraisal, the appraiser, you know, went through the various methods and has, you know, his ways of calculating those. And I'm not going to sit here and by any stretch of the imagination be able to talk about, you know, all the financial calculations.
Well, I hate to interrupt you on that financial capital, but he's got cost approach $16 million, sales comparison approach $16 million, and income capitalization just all wrote down as $16 million, and that's absolutely positively cannot be substantiated anywhere in this appraisal of why the cost approach. Everybody knows the cost approach of that building was a lot more than $16 million. But he's got his analysis, all three, $16 million, perfect. Sales comparison, you just spoke to this board and told him there was nothing like it, it was unique in itself. How did he come up with a sales comparison of $16 million? Income capitalization, $16 million, and you're asking the property to be $16 million.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't appear that he's done any of these. What, to write them down in his appraisal without performing, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go through 120 pages, but he obviously went through each one of those methods, and, I mean, there's various...
Virtually impossible to come up with $16 million on every number.
I was going to ask you, did you come before us 2 years ago?
Last year.
Was it last year with the same?
They did. I did not.
Right. Okay.
I did not, yes, sir.
Just trying to
came, yes sir, they came last year, and I think you guys basically just didn't take any, I mean, didn't change it in any way and said you probably need to appeal this. They did not take that step last year. I don't know exactly why, but We're here. They've come to me for assistance, and I know that they would plan to go forward with the tax commission if they don't get.
They'll need to correct this because you got land value at $4 million, cost approach at $16 million, and they're asking everything at $16 million with no relationship to the land value. In addition, when I went to school, that was $20 million on all the approaches, but the sales comparison. And it's just, those are just numbers wrote down. I just want to make the board aware of that.
Well, I'm not sure what, I mean, obviously those are his conclusions after he went through his analysis. I believe that the land value is included in all three of those approaches.
So that's saying the building would be worth $12 million?
Apparently so.
Based on a cost approach.
You have a copy there for me.
Do you have a copy of that, Jeff?
Right now.
Yeah.
On the page I'm talking about.
It's in the system too, isn't it?
I'm going through it, but it's
202 pages.
I was trying.
Yeah, it's long. It's long.
Well, hurry up.
I didn't know whether it would be useful for me to go to my office and pull what notes we had on last year's. Jeff, do you remember this particular property last year?
I don't remember.
He said we refused it and they didn't go to the state tax commission, but there was other elements involved, as I remember. Well, it's not you, so I can't hardly ask that question. There was an exemption for a...
They do have some other properties, and there may have been discussion on some related properties. This is down to just two tracts, and that's just the two tracts that make up the theater itself. And then they own some undeveloped, and they own a hotel next door that they don't actually rent out but use for their employees. So that might have been part of what you were thinking about.
Was those different properties of
that certainly could be, yes,
recollection. I'm just going to go back to my notes and keep all the BOE books and see where my thought process was on what you had. Sure. This is on a different piece of property.
There was something they was needing to get corrected in the appraisal, and I can't remember that either. It wasn't the page I'm talking about.
That's from last year, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so down at the bottom, the ones ending in 18 or 19, 18 and 19 are the two that we're talking about today. 10 and 11 are some adjacent properties that we're not appealing.
I'd actually worked with Mike extensively on this, and I changed some measurements. We'd taken some commercial property to agriculture use where they trained their animals and kept their animals and did all that stuff and come up with a new value. The assessed total was $9,708,290, and we come up with $8,555,670 with all the reductions we had in I don't know whether you call them technical aspects or what, but...
What did that make the total appraise?
The total appraise then dropped to $27 million. Let me hit it this year. I don't want to come up with $16 million. I'll be so embarrassed.
Well, the two properties that he's talking about, if I've added it right, are a little over...
27,965,994. Last year they was on for
So you're saying that's what you have the two combined parcels now, the 18 and 19?
No, this is parcel 18 through 21.
Okay.
18 and 19 right now are the two.
Are the only two we're talking about, right?
It was only for $30,338,406 before we went, and I actually sent an appraiser out, and we redone all the agriculture part of it.
Help me, are just those two parcels?
Wherever the building.
Put that back on. I think what he's wanting is.
You had 18 and 19 last year. Christy, put that back up there because it was a 33 with the other two totaled, and then it'll be minus whatever the other two totaled is. And then if you made an adjustment there.
Huh?
Well, I think the numbers you're saying have more parcels than what we're talking about here today.
You're talking about 18 and 19.
Right, those top
two. So those are two minus the 6,560, and that's what it's going to be.
It's $30,338,406 is the parcel I worked on.
Yeah.
And I took that parcel to the 26 million, whatever you came up with.
Well, I've got the one parcel, number two, at $25,991,834.
Yeah.
The other parcel is at $2,025,892, so it's almost 28 million for the two.
Right. But if you have to add to that 30, the single parcel I'm dealing with was $30,338,406. That was the main theater, and I reduced that to $27 million, basically.
So the one that ends 019, where is it today?
It's at the.
$25,991,834. So almost 26 million.
$25,991,834.
And you add them together, they're $27,955,486, Ron, with the land. Right?
Yes, sir.
From the $30 million down to that.
And what's the 018?
The 018 is at. We dropped it a huge amount. We dropped it from
1,756,992.
That was the number that I have written down for that one. The other one has changed.
We dropped that from 2,928,312 for last year.
Down to the 1.7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we worked, like I say, we worked, I thought we had this worked out. And then we actually took another piece of property that had been on extremely high commercial value and put it on as agriculture. They didn't bring it. And we actually dropped the theater down below our depreciation tables to come up with that figure. We dropped it down to 90% good. It was on at 98, and we dropped it 8% to come up with that.
Still reading, Jeff.
The page you on?
Did you ever find the page I was talking about?
Yes.
Page you're talking about was towards the beginning, wasn't it?
Right.
You're right.
I didn't see that page.
Where he did his triple analysis. I've never seen that before in an evaluation report.
Well, you just don't believe the points.
I can't see any of it.
Hard day to deal with.
Yeah, hard
to deal with.
Well, I guess I'll go back to a point I made earlier. You know, the Remington Theater is another example of a large theater. It had 2,470 seats. So again, another large one that is hard to try to sell. And it's not being used as a theater anymore. It's a church now. It was sold for $6.2 million back in 2007. You know, I think that's just an example of, you know, it's not that it's not a nice building, but it's hard to find users, and therefore, and I'm not even talking about the base portion of the theater here, but, you know, a lot of this extra cost is the animal training facilities and this large scene shop that is unusual for these theaters. And yes, it has constructed value, but in terms of sale value and market value, I just think that that is, you know, that external obsolescence that this theater, you know, that really represents the true value. It has value for them, but it doesn't have value for anybody else. You're lucky you came back when you did. They've been talking about you.
It's nothing unusual.
Hopefully you can cut these meetings short in the afternoon so you can get out and enjoy this 80-degree weather on July 3rd.
Yeah. Let me help you with that. That's not going to happen.
Not at the rate you're going right now.
Can you answer if this is the same appraisal that came in last year?
I don't know if it's word for word. It was updated.
Was last year, and you guys will remember when I remind you.
I think what he said there when you started to talk was it was updated this past March.
It was, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he changed from 12 to 13.
What they had done, had taken their payments, principal payments, off of their P&L, and that last year we said that was unallowable. You can take interest payments off, but they'd taken the whole payment of quite a sum of money. And that's why we sent him back, the guy that was here, with the appraisal. So we'd have to look in the P&L and see. But it was coming in at $16 million. That's why I'm assuming this is the very same appraisal. But if we look in the financial end of it, we will see that they took their principal payment also as an expense.
So we went down from, I missed it. You went down from 30 million down to 27.
27,955. And that was largely what, reclassification of those animal training areas in the back from commercial down to agricultural.
And then I depreciated the theater itself actually 8%.
Yeah.
Ron, if Jeff's reading the appraisal and we're trying to figure something out here, why don't we move on to and make a decision on this a little bit later, and today or something, because we are.
Well, if we'll continue to look at it, I guess some preliminary comments, Jeff? No, not really.
Okay. Not yet. Real quick, James, on the, do you have the appraisal in front of you?
Yep.
On page 95 of it is where they, just so you know. Where they add and subtract different factors into it.
I believe that's the cost approach.
That's the cost approach.
And this was another question I had.
That was just to answer your, as to why, I mean.
Well, I remember portions of the appraisal, but. They've got the replacement cost new at $30,714,281. And depreciated it over a third. They depreciated it $11,967. And the building and property, I'm assuming, is just, is it 4 years old or 3 years old?
Part of it was opened in 7 and part of it in 8.
Okay. Little older than that, but I think this appraisal is dated
March of this year.
But they've got $12 million worth of depreciation against a $30 million building.
You mentioned the P&L deducting of the principal and interest expense. I didn't see that. You had mentioned that to me before. I mean, on page 123, shows that direct capitalization summary.
And I didn't see it in
and
that.
And it's not there. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is. There's obviously lots of different categories of, you know.
They've got to have a place where they've taken their interest on one of these pages. And when on that page, they actually took their principal payment to. And I'm not even seeing them labeling the interest. In this report.
Well, I certainly understand that this is a complicated issue, so if you guys need to take time to look at it, I certainly understand that.
Other than this number 18 and 19, are we looking at any other parcels today?
No, sir.
I'm confident we're not going to reach conclusion on this parcel of property.
Sure.
Today. But we will continue to discuss it unless there's something that any of the board members wish to state differently. And we'll revisit this. This is a huge property, obviously.
Sure. Well, we appreciate your time, and if there are other questions, I'm happy to look into them for you as you guys deliberate on this.
Do we have a way through the clerk's office to reach you?
I believe James has okay. My email address.
Yeah.
But I can, yeah, I mean, I can give you my card right now if you'd like
you'd
that.
You'd be better to.
Thank you. board member have anything else to say about these two BOE numbers?
I have a quick question. On the second one, how much of the building is actually included in that? Because if you look at the...
I'm calling it all land on the second one.
Yeah, I think it's largely all land. I think it's mainly just land and parking lot.
Right.
On that second one.
So, because I'm showing a commercial of $1,756,992.
Yes.
Is that for a parking lot?
Yes, where the parking lot is. The improvements of the parking lot is on the other parcel. The actual improvements are all on the big parcel of 219. Then 218 just covers the land, and we sorted out a huge amount of the land as agriculture.
26 acres.
26.89 acres, yeah. And 8.37 where the building sits.
So that 8.37 acres is one is valued at $1,756,000.
No, 26.89.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm just looking at Beacons, so I could be wrong.
No, it's right there.
Can you pull up what I'm looking at, please, Kristen? Can you pull up what I'm looking at, please?
And you can see last year it was $2,900,000, and we lowered it to.
Looking at 18? Just right here. Yeah. 27. Yeah. Go ahead. Here's the map. Or, I mean, yeah, okay, sorry. So you have 27 acres. You have the land value, commercial at one. That's what I'm asking. Okay. Yeah.
Last year we had it at 2.928 commercial. Okay. And we split it out to the ag and lowered the value.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
The one that was scheduled for 10:15?
Yeah.
What if we can jump to the others and come back to him since we're going to be late anyway on the teleconference? That's right. People waiting. Yes.
Call him. Yeah, call him and tell him we're running late.
We're scheduled right up till noon, right? Why don't we see if we can work the individual if we're doing it the other day? Or for the other day. And what is the... Kids Across America?
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to move up to you all and try to come back to the telephone conference later. How are you today?
I am fine.
My chair is getting warm.
Well, we have a
No.
Ask you to consider this two different ways. What we're talking about is two cabins that were conveyed to Kids Across America by bill of sale that sit on land leased from a Kanakuk entity. So we're talking about two log buildings. One's used for offices, and the other is a bunkhouse for interns who are volunteering, who come and work for Kids Across America. Ken Jeffries is here today, and he can speak to you about the history that resulted in these properties, which had apparently been taxed to Kanakuk, being billed for the first time in 2012 to Kids Across America. Kids Across America has another office building across the street for which an exemption has been granted. These buildings are used exactly the same way, except one's for offices and one's for the bunkhouse. So as the packet there shows, Kids Across America is a 501c3 entity. It does nothing but provide its services to children, and Mr. Jeffries can amplify the written statement there if you would like to hear from him.
Could we have the assessor address this first, and then we'll come back in?
Okay.
Well, it just follows in suit with, you heard me say this morning that Kids Across America had been declared exempt by circuit court to the old Rex Grady building, and I was understanding at that time that the case included a dormitory atmosphere where the training of individuals, mostly for ministers, came there to do their study and all this type of stuff. Now, that's what I understand the court case was about. These office buildings that's set up to promote, sell, and all these things, as a general rule, has not been exempted by the state of Missouri. Now, the bunkhouse has the possibility of falling under the campus atmosphere. They were all under Dulos Ministries, wasn't it? Before, there have been several deeds changed hands to straighten this situation up. It wasn't a cut and dried, here's Kids Across America. And he explains that here in his top letter. I would not... You guys do whatever you want to, but I would send the office to the state, and I would go ahead and exempt the building that has the dormitory campus atmosphere in it.
Well, first off, tell me which one of these numbers that you're willing to grant the exemption so that we won't work through that one. Can we start there?
So five.
It's the Angel Wing building only. It's 8.
Is that 2013-82 BOE number? Which would be 049.005?
Yes.
And currently, what do you have that assessed at and appraised at?
It's appraised at $52,934 commercial property.
And the assessed?
$16,940.
And you're asking this board to place that as an exempt?
Yes. Based on the court case and what was...
Can we move forward with that, and then we can go into the others that have that taken care of without...
Yes.
Is there a motion to accept the assessor's recommendation?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to exempt BOE number 2013-82 as listed. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Now we're looking at .004. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, sir. I'm sorry.
And if I understand what James has been saying, where his recommendation would be that you deny the exemption for 005 because it's his understanding that the State Tax Commission will not exempt the administrative buildings used by tax-exempt entities, even though the rest of their property may be exempt under the charitable use exemption. And that's a that's a point that we're happy to provide you some facts from Mr. Jeffries who can explain what it is. But as I understand, that 004 building is used entirely for administration.
Well, it is, but I'm not sure how you separate running a camp from the administrative, from, well, what's administration and what's running the camp. I mean, the registration system, the registration people who register the campers who come to camp are in that building. It's basically, it's, everyone's in that building are there to run the Kids Across America ministry. Part of what we have to do is raise 80% of our funds to survive through contributions. And so there's fundraisers who live in that building, who, when not on the road, have a small office in that building. They're out raising the $4 to $5 million a year we have to raise to be able to function as Kids Across America. So I don't know how when you say an administrative building, it's a log cabin that houses a few offices, but all these people are integral to running the ministry of Kids Across America and running our camps are out in Golden, Missouri. I'm not sure how you separate the two from not being an integral part of the business.
For years upon years upon years, the administrative building of Kennecott Camps that run everything was taxable. There was no exemption ever asked for the administrative end where they, I think they employed up to 25 secretaries and kept their administrative end. We always and never did have a quarrel coming from anyone at Kennecott Camps about that, from Dulos Ministries, from the whole thing.
Well, I can't speak to that. I can just speak to Kids Across America, which has been a 501c3 since 1984. It was birthed out of Kennecott originally because Joe White gave a couple weeks of camp away at Kennecott to start the whole ministry. But it's a separate 501c3. It started in 1984. The buildings were gifted to Kids Across America in 1996. And how this all came up, I think you see it there, is when Kennecott did their thing a few years ago to start separating, which you all know what's going on there. They took all the buildings, thinking that these two were already gifted to Kids Across America and taxes in, and deeded them over to the not-for-profit. Then they realized, and then, again, we did not know this was going on. Kids Across America was not aware of this. They realized they didn't, so they went to deed them back, realized they'd never been deeded in the first place to Kids Across America, even though we thought we owned them, and they had been paying the taxes on the two buildings, I think, because it's just one big glob of tax bills they were getting for the K-1 camp. When they realized it, again, unbeknownst to us, they did a replacement deed in end of 2011, said nothing to us about it, and all of a sudden we get a tax bill in 2012 for the first time in the existence of Kids Across America on these buildings, and tried to appeal it, was told we couldn't, tried to file a protest, was told we couldn't, and so, you know, here we are today. But those two buildings have been an integral part of the ministry, just like the building across the street has since the start of time, start of Kids Across America.
Well, the only thing I want you to be aware of also, when the court case went up, these two buildings wasn't involved, had never been mentioned, Kids Across America had never been, they came for the Rex Grady House to be exempted, and that's what was heard on behalf of Kids Across America.
I understand, because because Kids Across America owns that building, that house, and that land.
Right.
Ken, are you saying that the Rex Grady House, which has been declared exempt as a matter of law by the court, is used exactly the same way as the 004 property we're talking about, so it should be the same reasoning should apply?
Very similar. There's some housing over there in the basement. There's training facilities. It's used for training facilities. There's probably more training done over there than this building because it's a bigger building. And this is a little log cabin with not a whole lot of space in it. But as far as housing people employed by Kids Across America, they're in both buildings. A lot of the buildings are virtually empty this time of year because there are very few people like myself that even reside there because they're all at camp running the operation through August. So the one building is shut down. The other one's about half staff because everyone else is out of camp.
I can't. It's up to you guys.
I'm ready to make a motion to for BOE number, is it 81?
Yes.
To make this property exempt.
Second. So Motion on the floor, second, to exempt BOE number 2013-81, Kids Across America Foundation. Discussion?
The discussion would, that I'd like to have on the record is that the statements made is that we have a court case with one building and the other building is being used virtually the same way, right? That's what I'm hearing from you before I vote on this?
That's what my understanding is, but Mr. Jeffries knows the facts.
There are people residing in both locations. When you talk about training, there's probably more training done in the other building because it's got the bigger training conference room in it. But as far as employees who work in both buildings who are either on the road or working at the camp during the summer, they're in both buildings. There may be a handful more people in the cabin, like myself, who don't go to camp as much because I'm the CFO, so I don't have to be at camp as much. But everything I do is to run that ministry out there and to run the ministry, not just out there, but the ministry around the country. We're doing training all around the country and mission trips around the world. In fact, there's a mission trip in South America or in Haiti right now. That's all part of our ministry. That's all got to be administered and funds raised to support that ministry. So I hope I'm answering your question because
I think he's wanting to know if. Here's what I understand, Danny, is they don't have enough office space, so the offices are in two different buildings.
That's
one of the buildings is the Rex Grady House, which was with the same kind of uses, was declared to be tax exempt by the court. They're essentially, you know, across the Lakeshore Drive from one another, and from what I understand, the same functions are done. What those functions are, Ken knows, I don't know.
And I'm going strictly off the court case before I place my vote, because if they've got exactly the same and one has been declared to the courts, then I'm going to vote that way, but I'm not going to vote that way if there's any difference in the two.
Well, they're exactly the same. Both of them house employees and house residents, if you will, or interns. To the point, we'd love to be in one building, but we're not. We're in a building that's given to us, a building we bought for overflow, and we're across the street from each other.
That's all I had.
Further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you. Now you don't have to listen to Kelly Trimble, who was going to talk about the value.
We could have voted on this a lot earlier.
I'm just kidding, Kelly.
You'll get to hear from me on Friday.
I'd have waived all rights to it.
Nice shot, Harry.
I'm going to move that one to the fifth at 12:15.
We're going to call him up Friday?
Yeah.
Thank you, Doug. All right, who do we move to next? Let's keep moving. 11 o'clock, we have a CBG Finance. Anytime you guys want to run up and take a quick break yourselves individually, let's do it. But is this a phone call or is this on the merits?
Which one are we on?
CBG Finance.
Teleconference. Ready for the number? Almost.
I just need to talk to Donna for a second.
Donna? Is this CPG Finance I, LLC?
Is it what?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
It's showing no appearance person. CPG.
What's that phone number, and I'll give them a call. Christy, you got it?
317?
Yes.
308?
Yes.
9971.
9971? Okay. who will I be talking to?
Please enter your account code.
Andrew Thompson,
Simon Robert.
Didn't go.
Please enter your account code.
Andrew Thompson.
Services.
Yes.
Don't want to pay it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, is this Andrew Thompson?
Yes, this is him.
Oh, this is Ron Houseman. I'm with the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. I apologize that we're running a bit late. We had lots of business this morning.
Well, I understand.
And you have an appeal to the BOE regarding two or three parcels of property, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, it's the shops at Branson Meadows. It's all one property, so it's three parcels, but basically one main marine parcel and two small ones.
If you would like to proceed, we are ready to listen.
All right, absolutely.
When I say we, the Board of Equalization is here, and that includes the county assessor and the county clerk. And we have you on speakerphone.
All right, well, good morning, everyone. Just want me to go ahead?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I filed an appeal for our shops at Branson Meadows, more strip center, I would say, now than outlet. And the reason I included all three of the parcels and one of the main points of my appeal, and this is a big part of the evidence I provided to you, is the property has been listed for sale. It has been for probably about a year, maybe a little less, without a sale. It's been listed for $7.8 million. It's currently assessed, I believe, for a little over $11.9 when you throw in all three parcels, the market value of them. So it's listed for sale for $7.8. It obviously hasn't sold yet. There have been two serious offers that I kind of listed here in my summary sheet, $6.5 million and $5 million. Neither of those offers closed. It was my understanding, I spoke with both the broker and our people to handle that division, and they probably would have closed due to financing issues for the possible buyer, two separate buyers. So I kind of, looked at those two, the listing price, those two offers, along with then the actual NOI. If you look at that, I submitted a separate sheet showing the NOI in the packet, the whole listing packet, and then I also submitted the year-end 12, which declined quite a bit from year-end 11. I tried to kind of factor that in along with those sales price, sales offers. When you use year-end 12 with a pretty conservative cap rate, you're way down to $4.2 million, which I think is way low. It was a down year. I don't think a buyer would look at it that way. It was stronger in past years. So basically, I kind of took the median point between the 5 and the 6.5 offers that we apparently, had financing happen, we would have closed, and, thought that would probably be a pretty good indication of market value. It's really more of a strip center now. I don't think you would want to say it's necessarily an outlet. It certainly has a decent amount of vacancy at close to 30%. That's kind of where we are. And, there's nothing imminent right now for the sale. I talked to the broker. That's kind of what my thoughts were. It'll sell for something less than the 7.8, and the 5 and the 6.5 are what we've gotten.
Is this for the entire facility? Could you pull up the map, or because you got three parcels there?
Yes, it is for the entire facility, and I double checked with the broker, and then it's also listed in the offering memorandum, it lists all three parcels. Which was with Simon having no other properties anymore in the area, it makes sense that they wouldn't hold on to any of the others.
So those are the three that we're looking at. I'm talking to the lady that's running the maps for us. Are those the three that we're looking at right there, Chris, that you just clicked on?
Number 83.
Okay.
This one is 84. This one's 85.
So you're going to be able to give me, because I've only got two listed in here, you're going to be able to give me appraised, assessed, et cetera, when the time comes. Not right now.
No. I got a question, though, on the, where you show your shops and you've got the...
I don't know that he can hear you, Danny.
Yeah, I think... Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I thought you could. There on the third 85 was the last one that you give the number on. There's like three shops on the very end down there. Are those all rented? I mean, as you go... Are there, you see where I'm talking about here? There's the diagonal angle, yeah.
They are. They're tied in with the improvements of the upper when we appraised it, because the parcel number crossed through the buildings. We tied all the improvements together and left that end as just the vacant land.
Okay. That's what I wanted to...
That's what I figured you was asking about.
Yeah.
On your... appraisal, I got to make a point here with the board that generally speaks to some of these appraisals. I see you've run a pretty exclusive estimated market rent conclusion per square foot, and I see that came up at $7. You've talked about $6 to $8 and $10 to $12 per square foot. But I understand that $7 is probably right and appropriate. But we had a guy in here yesterday declaring that you guys was getting $2 a square foot for your property there. And I think the board needs to know that at this point and maybe want to go back and relook that property. You don't get $2 a square foot, do you, on your property?
Sorry. My father, with me as far as... what we get in rent?
Yes.
Well, I got, if you look at just, you know, the base minimum, I don't have a breakdown by space, but we're at about, if you just look at the total base minimum rent divided by the square foot, it's $4.52 for year in 11 and $4.75 for year in 12. That's actuals. Just base minimum rent, not including recoveries.
So I guess the specific question, at least that I would have, is based upon someone else's discussion yesterday, is there any of that you are leasing for a less amount per square foot?
I don't have a breakdown by space with me, so I'm not sure. I just have that overall for the whole center. I mean, I can look real quick. It may be in this offering.
Do you want that, James?
What we are for.
No, that's fine. I can read.
Thank you.
This issue.
Questions, gentlemen?
On your financial deal, you had a pretty aggressive market approach in that area out there. I know at one time you had free rent for up. I'm thinking it was 6 months, 3 months, 6 months, or something like that, and then a lease on the back end of it. Are you figuring that in on your any cost on your one approach that you've taken in on your appraisal?
I've used all the space that's part of the center and the actual. And then I was just looking, if you look at, you know, it varies pretty greatly by space. The VF's at 1521, the cinema's at 927, payments labeled with a $4 according to the offering memorandum. So there's a pretty big variance in what we are per square foot and the space and the size.
Right, that's what I was trying to figure, though. If you turned in a figure that was a certain amount, but you give either 3 or 6 months, and I think at one time it may have been even more if they did more units, if that was figured in at the amount that you received or the amount of trying to your marketing approach on this facility. I was...
I understand what you're saying. As far as December, where I submitted, you know, we had the offering memorandum, and then I submitted a separate sheet that after that, a direct cap value estimation, that's what came to the 4Q, and that's using everything we actually got.
Okay.
And then it was close. So it was year-end, we took a big dip for year-end 12. If you use similar numbers for year-end 11, you know, we're closer to 7.2 million, and it's offered for 7.8. So, I think that's probably more what the offering memorandum was based on, because they wouldn't have had here as well yet.
James, thoughts, questions?
This has been here several times in front of the board, actually every year, I think, for about 3 or 4 years, maybe missed last year. I know that it's a brighter picture for the Meadows Mall than it was previous to the Red Roof Mall going out of business, because I'm thinking several of the tenants moved over there. But I'm not comfortable in doing anything with it other than what I've done, and you guys, it's your decision to make that. I don't have a recommendation if that's what you're asking, sir.
What are your thoughts? On the BOE numbers, on 85, which piece is that up there?
The bottom one.
It's the bottom one. Okay.
And it's the land, according to what James said a while ago. He moved the other.
It'd just be straight land, I think.
Straight land, he moved the other. Ron, maybe you was up, stepped up. He mentioned that a while ago. You moved the buildings in to the 84.
Yep.
Let me have the appraised value of that parcel.
85.
Yes. Can we come help him? I've been a smart aleck.
It's 363813 appraised. Assessed 116420.
The assessed is what?
116420.
Thank you. Gentlemen, any other questions? Decisions today, what we're going to chat about, what do we want to do?
I don't make a decision on today. We can move it to one of our later discussion time frames.
Mr. Thompson, there's a number of parcels that are larger like this that we're not making quick decisions on, but as soon as we do make a decision, we will notify you through the county clerk's office. And if you're not happy with the decision that we make, we're also going to supply you with information which will give you instructions on how to appeal any decision we do make to the Missouri State Tax Commission.
Okay.
And we,
well, I appreciate everyone's time.
We appreciate your time. Thank you very much for talking to us today.
Okay, everyone have a great holiday. Thank you.
You too, sir.
Thank you. You also.
All right, bye.
Or lunch.
I was going to sell this sausage biscuit here after all.
Could you divide it up?
If I'd known that was there, I'd have.
The teleconference, and there's two properties involved.
Did we already do something for Emerald Point? I forget.
I don't know if we did anything for Emerald Point. I know we did. We're holding all Branson Hills.
Well, we had an Emerald Point yesterday, and it seems that we had.
You moved it to 20,000.
Lot to half of what?
That's because they purchased it, right? At that amount?
No.
Well,
they'd had it for years.
Because the lot that was next to it was at that same value, I think, wasn't it?
Do we want to look at that before?
At twice the size.
Leilani?
Leilani?
Mantis?
Leilani?
Yeah, there's a
We're pretty close to being back on track.
Those are both Emerald Points?
Yeah, and they're both at the, looks like at the same value. I haven't looked down on the map.
Right next to that property, the one of the older land in Norman community.
Oh,
I'm
back at,
that's a Royce, was that Royce and Friesen?
Emerald Point, can you remember that?
There's an older man and woman came in.
Talking about that house up on the.
What, when they're talking on this one here, they say it's a. In the notes they wrote, it's a totally worthless piece of property. Is there an obsolescence on it, James? It causes them to state that, is it?
Yeah, it's called a tax bill.
I'm sorry. The.
Was it yesterday that we?
It was Melvin and Owen. Melvin, Owen, and Shirley.
They didn't have an appraisal. What happened is Jeff seen a piece of property that we had not increased from the contractor's price when the people next door had purchased, and it should have been brought to the same value, and so he made a motion to lower it to the neighboring lot. And it went to $20,000 a lot. They didn't have an appraisal.
I read that wrong in some shapes.
Donna, which one was that? So I'm
sure. It was the Tidwells. It was number, BOE number 109 at 3:30 yesterday.
No. Don't give us.
Once we get past one, let's not.
Don't do that.
But you guys had checked every lot in the circle other than the one was at 20,000. The rest of them were all the same. Christy did it on the screen yesterday. And I've provided you gentlemen with a list of sales in Emerald Point. 659 to be exact. Current sales.
And the reason I asked the question a while ago about the obsolescence was because last year there were some people came in from the subdivisions on Emerald Point, and there was a high line, there was a bluff, there was other things that caused us to have to lower
the value because of those situations, and it, I mean, that's the reason I asked the question when they wrote it, was absolutely
useless. You'll have to cross the road to get into phase 10 and 11. These lots do lay across the road. Have nothing to do with these lots on this side. I'm talking the entire main road.
Well, help me with, before we go into it, that, is it 117? No.
Yeah, that's the ending parcel number, 117. One of them.
Where did you set those at? Because we did a median on those last year, James. Where did you set those at?
They're at 69.9.
I think that's
better. Yeah, that's Eddie. Come look at this. This piece of property. See those power lines?
Yeah, that's
half
many.
The property is basement there.
Mm-hmm. Is that what we're talking about?
I think so.
That's one of them.
See, that's what we did last year, if they're talking about this.
You know, you put the one that ends in 000 up there, please, Christy. Obviously, the other for Lalani Mumtaz.
This one here is in a double gate. Give me into two gates to get into it. Those people used to reference that.
There you go.
And now you're 49.
And the map?
Okay. Kenny says it's got a high line running through the water. Yeah.
So we can make an adjustment on that. Have you already done that one on this one?
No.
Okay. We made to make the adjustment, whatever we made on those others last year. Is there some beside it we made last year that adjusted those?
It seemed to me like there was a lot or two that half of it was taken with an easement that had power lines on it. That's a...
If you go up, there you go. Can you move the map down?
This is the only one we have last
year. That is year before.
I can tell you where they're at. I know the names. Here you go. You made an adjustment from Stottles.
Right up here in this corner. Coming off the Hillhaven Road.
Well, this one's got power lines.
Yeah. I mean, but don't you think we make the same adjustment that we made on the Stottle ones and the others?
That property is, if I remember right, is like a hill.
Yeah.
It's a cliff. It's not even, it's a cliff.
Straight up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
And I don't even know, do they have any?
But we did. I mean, we made a big cut on it.
Somewhere up here, we made an adjustment in the last 2 years.
Because
$10,000.
You say value of that, right?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, she can't see where the thing is. Not where it says on it.
That's simple enough. Let's make that adjustment off according to whatever the others were.
Well, we can't find the others, Dan. That's what we're having trouble doing.
Well, look over on Minnie Stottles.
She is. There's one that's slightly lowered. But that's right there at Minnie's.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to be over where I can see. Can't find many Stottles.
Which is
good. If you show, is this the power line? If you show me the power line, I'll show you many. She had five lots and we lowered because they all had to.
There.
that where he was at?
This is where James had.
Now, what have we got on one of those pieces of property?
Not many right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there?
9%.
Well, but she has, does she have it as agriculture?
That was probably the ag when moved over to the. We need to do them all the same. It's got the obsolescence factor on them.
It's got the high line across it.
Well, all those across the road, I mean, do they even have utilities over there? Because there isn't a house over there.
They have access to power.
Yeah. On certain lots.
They might give you a tumor.
I don't think there's a house over there.
What does the other lot look like?
This is the one that's just.
I agree with you, David.
This one's all ag.
That's it. No. Today? Lalani Mumtaz, 001.117?
We were looking at those lots. That's what she was looking at, Ron, trying to.
Because she'd adjusted it from the install for the power lines in the past.
Okay.
That's what that purpose was. Whatever that value is what we're going to make a recommendation to lower everybody, lower these lots of question today.
Just one of them.
Is there any houses on that side of?
Not that I know of. But if you look
is
at
that
your.
Because there's. I mean, do they don't have any utilities or. Because, I mean, that's.
They got all the roads other than in phase 12 now. They've crossed the hollow with the roads. But they're buying them every day, Jeff. That's the issue. That's the problem I have in trying to make adjustments in Emerald Bay.
They're buying them for $3,500, though.
I provided you with a list with 59 sales.
I know.
I mean, you can grab up $3,500 on some of them if you want. I think the lot's worth of around $5,000 because it's under that power line.
So is that your recommendation?
My recommendation.
Is that it? No.
This is one. This is the second one.
Okay, let's click on it, would you? I'm sorry, I should have said in March. That's all right, I can call it up right here. Got it.
I can go get you two sales letters that came in the last since last Friday. 69.9 and 72,000.
Did they look at the property before they bought it?
I don't know.
Are they across the road in this what is this phase?
That's phase 12, isn't it? From over there. Yeah, I believe.
Are they across the road in that phase?
I don't know. I'm gonna go find out.
What's the phone number I'm to be calling?
DR 549
314-517-5395.
James say BR 549. Is that his number? We'll wait for him to return and give him a call.
Well, while you're doing that, would you go to not the 40 acres that Minnie Stottle had, but the other listings that she had below it and pull those up and see what the value is on the lots? And when you do that, we'll see what we did, and I want to treat everybody the same. Everybody's treat them fair on that. You'll have to look her name up again. It was listed 4 or 5 times underneath there. That's her home, so we don't want that one.
On June 10th. 2013 in phase 12, lot 64, $69,500 paid by the, there's an affidavit. On April 18th, $80,000 in phase 10. I'm telling you, I'm getting them every day. And you've got 60 more on your list when these people are coming in.
I believe that, and I would also wager that that's coming through the sales staff out there that's marketing particular lots.
I mean, I don't see any sales in there for the last 2 years.
Where?
Any point that are over. There's two that's 30,000.
Well, this is where we get our information off the record of the buyer.
That's it. 80,000, that was a foreclosure related sale?
That's exactly
what it says. Well, that can't be right.
I can bring you on the 60 the letters signed by the owner, the people that bought them. And then we're always hearing about people picking up these.
But wouldn't you guess that they made a mistake clicking on that little box there?
Probably so. They don't know how to fill that part out. But I'll guarantee you they know how to write down how many dollars came out of their pocket.
We're going to make a call to this property owner. Who am I talking to, Christy?
Please enter your account code.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I dialed the wrong mistaken number. Give me the number again.
314.
Yes.
517.
Yes.
5395.
Okay. I gotta start doing.
Please enter your account code.
Yes, good morning. This is Ron Houseman. I'm calling from the Taney County Board of Equalization, Missouri.
Which one? You're calling from where?
I'm calling from the state of Missouri. You had in a request to talk to the Board of Equalization about some property that you own in Emerald Point.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Are you ready to chat with us?
Yes, sure.
We're looking at two different parcels.
Uh-huh, yes.
And if you're ready, just go ahead. Board of Equalization is here along with the assessor and county clerk as part of that board.
Okay. Yes.
Sir, are you still on the phone?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Do you have your paperwork in front of you?
Unfortunately, no, but I remember what it is about.
Well, we're here to listen to what you have to say about this property.
Okay. It was in the auction, both the properties, and I paid $1,000 for each property. $2,500 was the auctioneer's premium, so the property is only $1,000. Now, I tried to sell it, I even can't get, and I said, whatever, I haven't had a bid for even $3,000, I will bid for that, okay? I talked to this agent, broker there, real estate agent, and she even told me that, you know, it's tough to get rid of those properties. So taxes for almost $1,700 is way high, too much. Otherwise, I'll just stop paying and then let it go back to the tax sales to the city.
Well, we're looking at a difference in two parcels. Have you ever seen this property, sir?
Yes, I did.
One property has power lines over it. We have those up on the screen where we can look at them. And we are willing to, at this time, address that property because of the fact that it has power lines. We also know about the steepness of the property. But you're saying
both... Which property has a power line? Which lot number is a power line?
Hold on just a minute. You say you bought both parcels at an auction?
Yes, auction.com. They were on auction.com.
Auction.com?
Yes.
Do you want to discuss the one with power lines on it?
Yeah, which numbers is that? And he has asked that. Is that the 001?
049.
I'm looking at the wrong part.
Lot 353?
Sir, it's lot 353.
Okay.
I'd make a recommendation to drop that lot to $10,000 from the $69,900.
Does it have a water line, too?
He said he was out there.
Water and sewer or just the power?
The only thing we can see across it is power lines. We're not saying that that's a good thing. We're saying that that is a detriment to the value of the property.
That's a technical word. Does that mean good or bad for the
bad,
property value?
Bad
thing.
Bad. Okay.
I'll make that motion based on the James's recommendation.
I second that.
Sir, the motion has been made and seconded to lower the value of that property to 10 from
69.9.
See, currently it's on at 69.
Mm-hmm.
Nine. Mm-hmm. And we're lowering that to 10. We're going to send you that notification in mail. You're also going to be sent instructions. If you're not happy with that decision, you can appeal that to the Missouri State Tax Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on just a second. Which property is that? Is that 000?
101.
Yes, Ron.
And then 117?
No, it's 101.
101 and 000. Your motion is for the second property.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you skipped over one.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. On the other property, which is property number 001.117,
mm-hmm.
which is, what is the lot number on that?
15.
Lot number 15.
Yes.
Does the assessor have recommendation on this particular?
Oh, I'll leave that to you guys.
What's the ones right beside it?
The same.
That's the one I meant. It's $10,000.
Well, the one I want to put it to exactly the some ones is right beside it.
There it is.
Well, then I don't have any recommendation on my part.
Unless it's got
sir,
kind of
what we're going to do on these lots is we will notify you in writing of what the board's decision was, and we're also going to send you instructions that if you're not happy with what the board did, you can take this in writing to the Missouri State Tax Commission. All that will be included in what we send you in the mail.
Okay. Since you told me that the lot number 353 from 69, you will drop it to 10, how about lot 15? What's your decision on that one?
There has not been a motion on it as yet.
Okay.
I'm willing to take a motion, or we can include this with other lots that we chat about here, gentlemen. It's up to you.
What's the three?
Well,
red
we can
ones?
Wait for your decision, so I know what's going on.
Either way, we're going to notify you by mail within a week of the time that we make the decision.
Okay. Now, since I just opened up my mail, because I listed those properties with a real estate broker in that area. Her name is Mary Harrison, and I'm reading her email just I received, which it says second lot number 353 is located in an underdevelopment area, Emerald Point, outside of the gated area. No homes have been built over there. The road are maintained, and there is water and sewer. Unfortunately, there are main power lines that runs through the lot, but still buildable. The price in that area runs from $4,000 to $8,000. The last lot still there was sold for between $2,000 and $4,500. That's what it is. I can forward you this email from the reputable real estate broker. She just emailed me this.
We would appreciate that if you did send it to us.
Okay, what's your email address, sir?
Donna.
Donna N.
It's Donna, D-O-N-N-A-N, at C-O dot T-A-N-E-Y dot M-O dot U-S.
Okay. D-O-N-N-A-N, Donna N.
Yes.
At C-R-O?
No, just C-O.
C-O, okay. Tanning.Missouri.US.
Correct, but Missouri is just M-O.
M-O, okay. And C-O is for county.Tanning.MO.US.
That's correct.
Okay, I'll forward you that because that's because I'm trying to get rid of this lot. It's just for the homeowner association, it's costing me almost $700-$800 without any. There is nothing. We can't get advantage or use the swimming pool or nothing because it's just a piece of land. But they say everybody pays the same. You know, if you have a house or no house, so it's costing almost $1,000 there and $1,000 with the property tax. It's outrageous. So I tried to sell it, and she just sent me the email, says, you know, the last couple of lots were sold for between $2,000 and $4,500, you see. So, I mean, the asset value is way high. And the broker is Mary Harrison from CJR Trilex Realtors.
Yeah, just forward us that information, and we're going to mail to you our decision.
I will. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Have a happy fourth.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Guys and gals, let's stand in recess till, is it 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock.
So we're holding that